The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a post-game afternoon show where the Sixers win game two, and they win it by double digits. They win by more than double digits, actually. As I told you yesterday, this is going to be a blowout. The series is I'm going to today petition the league to see if the league can all of a sudden turn this into a five-game series so we can get out of here and prepare for the next series. Because this is it. This is an overmatched job here. And, of course, the star of last night was Ben Simmons. And now, okay, this is going to have to cut so many ways today with Ben. It almost seems like Ben Simmons needs some kind of a vice to come out and show people. You see, I showed you. Like, I don't know what it is, but it just, maybe it's coincidence, but it seems that way. Like, all the criticism he knows he's getting the criticism. Even his teammates were going, you know, we liked him to be aggressive, but whatever. And he goes, oh, yeah, really? That's what they feel? Wait till you see this. Boom. And he gets aggressive from minute one. Now, a lot of it was because of the way the Wizards were approaching the game defensively, where they were shooting an immediate double. He had a lot of space, and B was up top. And he had room to operate and attack. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, to be in attack mode, even if he runs into some problems that way. The ultra-aggressive attitude is what I like to see. Now, that game last night, he scores 22 points. That 22 is very important because, as I said before, like, you're not going to get the consistent 18 a game from Curry and Danny Green. So here comes Ben to the rescue. And you see that game last night, it's almost a perfect game. Except for the fact that Beal, you know, cooked them in several possessions. But I'm not going to complain about that. This is an ever-going story here with the Sixers. And whether they can build up enough clout. And, you know, when they win these games like that and they're playing with perfection like that, that brings confidence to the point where they go, I don't care who we play. You know, we're confident enough to attack anybody at this point if we're rolling. And that's the kind of thing I hope I see out of this series and the next series, which, again, will not be that much of a contest. Maybe five games. Maybe, you know, Atlanta the Knicks squeak out a game. But this series is obviously over, and we look to the next series and the build-up to who they're going to face in the finals. And we were talking about this prior to the show today, Tyrone and I. And Andrew Satchunas is joining us today. Hello, Andrew, the hardest working man in show business.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Thanks for hanging out with us after the Cubs show.
My pleasure.
So Tyrone, the mystery of Ben, it's almost like the mystery of life, but the mystery of Ben in your mind is what?
Well, I think that, one, I want to make it clear. I think it's really hard to get, as he said after the game, to get 15 rebounds and 15 assists.
No question
about it. I think that takes a lot of effort.
Yep.
So I don't want to act like he was. And I think part of the reason why his defense wasn't as good in game two was because of how much energy he had to spend on offense in game two.
Okay.
So I think that, but I also think that he has a little bit of that Jordan sociopath in him.
Mm-hmm.
In that Michael Jordan, if we've learned anything, always had to create these ways to be motivated. That's part of the reason why Michael Jordan needed 1.75 years of load management. Because he couldn't find a way to motivate himself to play basketball. He goes away, and then he decides to come back because he created new ways to have a chip on his shoulder, because that's how he was. I think that there's some of that in Ben Simmons' DNA where he needs to manufacture anger that may or may not be real to fully take it out of him. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. Jordan didn't win at first. Like, when he was at Ben Simmons' age, he didn't win. He didn't win until he was older. Sometimes your evolution on how to figure that out takes time. But I think there's something about him that needs that extra oomph. And hopefully, and matter of fact, I know it will come in the he'll get plenty oomph if they play the Nets, because the Sixers will be, they'll probably pick Nets in five, and it'll be everywhere. But he seems like he's that type of guy that needs that extra thing. And to many people, the greatest person to ever play basketball also needed that. So this isn't something that's foreign to me, but it seems like he's that guy to say, you know what? Bleep you, kind of like Jordan, is still at 60 years old, mad about high school.
We've seen it many times before where he needs to bleep you.
Yeah,
it's a fascinating dynamic here with this guy, and you know, God, he gives me turmoil. He does. Like, I have an obsession with this dude. And, like, last night I'm looking at it, I go, look at that. He's got tiger eye. Boom. And here it goes to the rag hard. And Westbrook, I think, made a dunk down one end, and Ben came flying down and answered that with, yes, look at this one. Bam! You know, and it's like he needed Westbrook to do that for him to trigger that.
The other thing was he shot that three in game one that he missed. And Beal did the stinky motion, like, ooh, like wipe it. And I think that Beal talking trash to him also did it. So I don't think it was just fan motivated. I think Beal, you stink.
Yeah.
Oh, I stink. Look what I'm about to do to you. So I think he needs that.
It's really interesting. And like I say, I'm not ripping. I'm not praising. I'm just in the middle. I'm just fascinated by the whole dynamic of that dude. And he's the key. Well, listen, Embiid obviously is the key, but you know, Ben Simmons' contribution last night makes them win a lot of games when he gets 22.
Yes, and the other part is you see with Embiid, he was able to ease his way in the game. He's getting overly doubled early. Mm-hmm. He still ended up getting his. If he played a full amount of minutes, it's another 30-point game. He only played 20-some minutes, so he got like 22 points. His game has evolved to where he doesn't need to be around the basket all the time, despite what the Neanderthals think.
Mm-hmm.
That hypothetically should unlock more for Ben Simmons, because the higher Embiid's able to come, the harder it is to wall off Ben Simmons, because the wall's easier if he's in the mid post, because the guy basically is just sliding laterally to the spot to stop Ben. The further he comes out, that defender, if that defender follows him, then that makes it easier for Ben. And if he doesn't follow, Embiid gets an open three. He made three. He went 3-for-4 from three.
Yeah.
Embiid's improvement on his game actually could help Ben Simmons' game more than anything Ben Simmons does for Embiid, if that makes sense. But that's all on the table going forward. And the Nets or the Bucks will not have an answer for that part either.
No. So Andrew, who's going to be hanging with us all day today, the dynamic of Ben, how does that make you feel?
Oh, it drives me crazy too, because last night I didn't agree with any of the critics after game one. The people that complained that he only scored 6 points, like, yo guys, he also grabbed 15 rebounds, 15 assists, played stellar defense. The one thing that I agreed with the critics yesterday was, all right, how come he can't do this every single game? Now, I'm not expecting him to score 22 every single night. My expectation for Ben, hey, give me 12 to 15 offensively, unless it's a game where Embiid goes off for 40-plus or Harris puts up 37 like he did in game one. But that 12 to 15-point range, and I'm not even asking for a jump shot, just that aggression toward the rim, I want to see that every single night. And that's the one thing that I'll agree with the critics from yesterday is that, okay, look at what happens when he's clearly aggressive. Devon Givens says it all the time. The best Ben Simmons is an aggressive Ben Simmons, right? And I agree with it. And I think you're right that there is always something that needs to motivate him. We saw it with Jared Dudley in the playoffs 2 years ago against the Brooklyn Nets. Yep. Now you saw Tyrone mentioned the Bradley Beal making the stink face and the stink motion when Simmons missed a three the other day. So it drives me crazy just as much as you. It drives me insane. But there's a lot of part of his games that I love, and then it's the question marks that drive me crazy.
Yeah, we're held hostage by the Ben, as Farrakhan calls him. You know, the Ben, he holds us hostage, and so, you know, that's the way we're going to have to live. So, all right, so I guess I got to touch on this, even though...
when I play with the Ben.
Even though I don't want to touch on this, because I hate bringing light to stuff like this, because it normally takes over, like a weed takes over lawns. The idiot backwards hat bro who dumped the popcorn on Westbrook. I would just like to tell people who would like to do something like that, for one time in your life, to think about people other than yourself. And now that you know and you've been punished, and you know, the kid's anonymous. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't know why he's anonymous. He should be called out. Who exactly the man is. Think about people other than yourself, because this kind of thing sets us back as a fan base that you are a member of. You're a member of this fan base, and you keep setting us back. And by the time we get back to the starting line, something else is going to happen with an idiot. Stop being an idiot. What do you gain by dumping popcorn on Russell Westbrook? You going to get a high five from your friends? What's wrong with you? So, all right. It reflects on all of us. I pop on ESPN. The first story on the right-hand column is that. The fourth story is Ben Simmons leading the Sixers to a playoff win. Now, just think about that. What you're doing to everybody else who likes to be a fan in this city. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in to the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
2 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. 2 o'clock hour brought to us by Ferguson, HVAC, Lyon, Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job can be gotten at one of Ferguson's counter locations. They're in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester. Let's start our Twitter poll. Paul B. Moyer & Sons brings us the Twitter poll. Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown. If you're looking for a new mower, some other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons is a great place to go. Old-fashioned customer service. They'll tell you exactly what the product is. They'll teach you how to do it. They'll build it for you. Go online, paulbmoyer.com. Andrew Stalchunas with us today with the Twitter poll.
You can find it on the station's account, 975 The Fanatic. Will we see the aggressive Ben Simmons again throughout the playoffs? 80% saying yes, 20% say no.
All right, that's good. 80% is a good number.
I'm surprised that it's that high. I think it's going to drop during the show.
Maybe, but see, here's the good part about the drop. We need to get the drop to him.
Right.
And he'll go, oh, yeah? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
So make sure he gets this. You know, if he goes up to 25 and put a little note in it, says, can you believe that 25% of the population that is not going to expect another performance like that from you? What are you going to do about that?
I think I'll move him. Also, I do want to give some credit for the space Joel Embiid does create. I do think that there was some organic basketball reasons. I don't want to just give credit to the outside sources. I do think some of it was him recognizing the game, just like I think some of it in game one was him recognizing Tobias had it going. I think he recognized they're going to guard this man this hard, this far away from the basket.
Yeah.
I got it. I am interested as the Wizards are bad defensively, but a team has an answer for Embiid. So I also wonder, can fans, I know you can, Mike, and I know you can, Andrew, but can fans live with a less post-heavy Joel Embiid if it allows an unlock version of Ben? Because you can't have him posting and have Ben down there at the same time.
Yeah, you know they're not going to allow for that.
But you can't have both.
No, you can't.
At the same time, you can't.
You can't have both. I agree. But, you know, when we get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to want to see Edquist, Shaquille O'Neal is going to, you know,
yeah, he'd be doing the
prime
games.
The pump,
right,
with everybody. So yeah, there's gonna have to be a fine blend.
I'm not saying none, but I'm saying him being down there majority of the time actually makes it harder for Ben. While Ben being down there, Embiid is still able to score because he has a more diverse offensive game, which I always thought was a good thing. And you saw it last night. Him being able to score other ways still opened it up for Ben.
Listen, that lean back jumper is unstoppable.
Right.
That lean back medium range jumper, it's unstoppable. So
do that. And I'm saying, but I know there's a certain, why is he done? He's soft. Well, but like, we also have to work around a point guard that doesn't shoot.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about Embiid at this point. It's no worry zone for Embiid. All right, let's get to the phones and we'll go to Cash first. Start things off for Mount Airy. What's up, Cash?
Yo, Mike Miss.
What's going on, Cashy Cash?
How are you, man? Hey, listen, off the topic, right?
Uh-huh.
Meek Mill was sideline with Robert Kraft. I just want to say, Robert Kraft, I hate the Patriots, but that man is the coolest old head I've seen in my lifetime. You hear me? That's a cool dude.
He was there last night?
Yeah, man, he had the Air Force
Oh, he was there with Meek last night?
Yeah, he had the Air Force Ones on, Robert.
Yeah, what's all right, he went to the brothel. You know, I don't know if that's style.
I mean, he
went to a Florida brothel. You know, there's nothing stylish about that. Come on, man.
I'm talking about he was stylish.
Plus, there was just a story saying that the Patriots cheated and he paid money to make it go away.
Oh, man, you know, everybody got their shenanigans with him, but I'm talking about to be an old school timer like that. Man, his style is second to none.
Yeah, I don't agree.
I like him. That's my personality. But listen, I want to get to my main man, Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Ben is the real deal. All y'all hating on Ben out there, y'all continue to hate while we continue to win and we get to the NBA Finals. Because I'm telling you right now, the Nets, they might not even be there. But if they is there, then I think we match up well against them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to need Embiid to go down a little bit more in that series, though. Because they don't got nobody to stop him. I don't need him to be a guard in that series. I need him to be down low in that series, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, just dominate.
Yeah, not every possession. Because, you know, that doesn't benefit the team where he's down every possession.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're playing against the Nets, I need him down low. I need him down.
Not all the time, bro. Yeah, Ben's got to be free to score. You know, DeAndre Jordan, he's got to come out and guard and beat if he's up top, and that clears a lot.
Yeah, they do. But, I mean, you got those three guards up top, you know what I mean? And they're going to be, you know, up top. They don't have nobody to match him down low.
Yeah,
I need to be 70% down low during that series.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what Doc dials up.
We win this series, and we sweeping these dudes, man.
Oh, really? You just learned that? You could have listened 2 days before the series started to this show. You would have found that out.
Hold up. But, Mike,
what I'm saying
is this, right? We play the Knicks next round or the Hawks. I think we'll play the Hawks anyway. But, listen, they're going to be beat up because that's going to be a series that's going to go 7.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a lot of rest. Then we're going in, we're going to damage them.
And well, of course. You're not worried about the first two series, are you?
No, I'm not.
All right. Come on. You're not giving me any breaking news here that they're going to win the first two series.
I'm giving you a breaking news. We're going to have a parade down Broad
Street. All right. Well, I hope you're right about that part of it. Hey, we only analyze the Wizards and the frickin' Hawks or Knicks at this point. I'm telling you, it's hurt my eye. It's bothering me. The drop-off between teams 1, 2, and 3 and 4, 5, 6, and 7 is ridiculous. In fact, they ought to go back to the 5-game series and waste everybody's time.
I wouldn't be against that. Once again, though, another call.
Well, he's got
that
go
doesn't
down,
live man. Up to cash. We've had cancel check. We've had money order call. Today's call was change, loose change. Next time he calls in his cash, I'm gonna need a cash money call. Mm-hmm. His calls are never good.
No, I mean, you know, he tries.
Is he trying?
Yeah, I think he's trying. I think all callers try.
I think most callers him. I can't give him the benefit of the doubt.
Him and Raheem, you're not big on that as far as
No, Raheem called. Raheem's wrong, but the call itself is always like he has a plan. Like he just is wrong with his plan, Raheem.
The call's wrong, but he has a plan.
He does. His plan is let me find a way to rip Carson Wentz, no matter what you're talking about. So let me. Oh, what you talking about? The Sixers? Actually, about that Carson Wentz. Like I know his plan. He has a plan, so it's not bad.
Yeah,
Cash is just Come on, Cash.
We haven't heard from Cash in a while, though.
Yeah,
you know, Cash has been absent for a while.
No, I was only a week.
Really?
Unfortunately, it was week before last.
Oh wait, I wasn't here then.
No, you were here.
I was?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the cashola. It's
not very memorable.
Here we go. This will be memorable. David Center City. Oh, following Cash. 1-2.
What's shaking?
What's
man?
Up?
Andrew, brother, you're with the A-team. Bravo. That's where you belong, my friend. Great to hear you. Hey, Mikey Miss.
Yes.
And again, Tyrone stole my thunder. I think Ben is a very cerebral player. And I think when he goes over his checklist before each game, number one on that list is to play lockdown D. Number two is to rebound and facilitate. And, of course, lastly is to score. But if you're going to allow him a red carpet to the basket, he will gladly score and shoot the basketball, Mike. Mm-hmm. I think what he does is game specific.
If that's the way you want to look at it, I'm just saying that if his priorities are, as you say, that's the priorities of LeBron James, too. And LeBron James knows that he's got to score sometimes.
Yeah.
So, Mike, so that's all I'm saying.
Mike Emmis, I'm going to touch on the fan behavior, okay?
Yes.
And let's debate this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a known fact since the late 60s. If you're a member of the opposing team or a fan of the opposing team, anything or everything could happen to you in our house. That type of behavior, we're known for that. That is a staple of what we do in Philadelphia. Did this gentleman cross the line? Yes, but it's not as bad as advertised.
Hold on a second. What's a staple? What is a staple? Dumping food or drink on somebody's head? Where is that a staple?
Mike, the old Spectrum.
Where is it a staple? This is a ridiculous statement. It's not a staple. It's abhorrent behavior is what it is. You don't dump stuff on a player. Where is that a staple?
I was just thinking of the malice at the palace.
Okay, the malice at the palace happened. But we have a reputation that they're licking their chops out there waiting for crap like this.
Yeah,
and it sets the fan base back. Think about that.
I know.
Not a staple. When they threw batteries at J.D. Drew, was that a staple or was that ridiculous behavior? When they run on the field, is that a staple? Or we go, those two are J.O.'s. What's a staple?
And that's the part that bothers me. It was one jerk last night. One jerk and just one guy. So that's what stinks is it becomes the number one story on SportsCenter, number one story on Sports Illustrated, on the website, number one story all on ESPN.com's website. All these websites becomes the number one story. Number one story in Washington on all their local sites. It becomes number one.
What is this? Like you notice a lot more on social media than I did. This support on social media for this.
Yes.
Now, it's brittle machismo. It's like such fake, weak machismo for you to back something like that.
It was, I was shocked. Like, we like to think, no one thinks that's okay. I'm going to tell you, I know for a fact, because I blocked, I think, like 75 people. seriously, like 75 people. There was at least 75 people that followed me. Uh-huh. And everybody in the city doesn't. There was at least 75 people just that followed me that were in full-throated support of the popcorn guy. And Mr. Mark Zumoff, who does the games, was called it out during the game, obviously, and said it was wrong, him and Allah. He goes on social media this morning. There are people going at him saying it's no big deal because it was, quote, just popcorn. Yep. But my issue with that is that's how it starts. The same thing when people run on the field. We assume that every time somebody jumps on the field, they're just looking for attention until that one time when it's more serious. It only takes one time where it's hot coffee or who knows what something somebody brought in or who knows what, and you poured it on somebody. Then you take it seriously. And we have to wait for it to be a deadly weapon
It's just popcorn. That's the rationale. Now,
yes.
It's the act that's wrong, not exactly. The substance. What are we talking about? What kind of weak justification is that? It was just popcorn.
That's what they said.
Act of defiance and irregularity that counts here.
And again, it was one guy, and it stinks that one guy overshadows the 10,999 fans that acted correctly. My beef is with the one guy. And all those other fans are all great. And then the morons that go out of their way to defend the idiot. It's just bad. There's no question about it. It's just bad. Same thing with the Knicks guy that spit. They found the video that spit on Trae Young. Spit on him. And we're supposed to just say, so now that's wrong. But the popcorn. No, how about you stay in your seat? Everything you have, your food, your clothes, everything, stay in your damn seat.
You be an adult. I don't understand this at all. I just don't understand it where you can justify getting it. All right, so Russell Westbrook plays on the edge, and he gives it to... I get it. So what your idea of giving it back to him is throwing popcorn. I don't know. I must be cut from a different cloth.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Of course, he covers the Sixers for The Athletic, and he's got great insight during the game and, of course, after the game with the story. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. He is Rich Hoffman. Rich, how are you?
I'm good, Mike.
Rich, will we see the same Ben Simmons for the rest of the series and the rest of the playoffs?
That's the $64,000 question. I don't know. I can't say to know for sure, Mike. I have to say the back and forth on this has already been exhausting after two games of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I guess my take on it is that there is a big difference for Ben Simmons when it comes to like what he needs to prove, what is how he goes about playing between the first round and like championship contending basketball. We have seen him dominate at times in the first round. Like he had a game against Brooklyn a couple of years ago when Embiid was out and he scored 30 points at Barclays Center. Mm-hmm. And he was very good in that Heat series a couple years before. And frankly, those teams, you know, they weren't very good, but they were more equipped to guard him than this Wizards team. This Wizards team, I've never seen anything like this. They don't have wings on this team.
Yeah, they're a disgrace. I have to shut my eyes half the time when I watch that team. In fact, do you have the power to get this series reduced to five games, don't you?
Because
I want to get out of this series. I can't stand this team anymore. But let's talk about the mind. The mindset of Ben was different. Now, we've been talking about this. We've talked about this with you before. Now, what was the mindset influenced by the controversial comments about him not scoring that much in game one? Or was it more of a mindset where he saw how the Washington Wizards were going to play defensively with the doubling of Embiid, and he saw lanes all over the place?
I definitely think he got some more favorable matchups in the game. Like, you know, going from Westbrook to Beal, I mean, it's still somebody he should score on regardless, but felt like he saw a decent amount of Beal and even smaller players, and I thought Embiid probably got even a little bit more attention last night. But honestly, like, against this team, I think it's an internal drive to want to score. And, you know, that first game was a little different than some of the games when he wasn't aggressive. Like 15 rebounds and 15 assists, that's a lot. Like that's mm-hmm. that's being involved in the game, even if his scoring and his free throw shooting were bad mm-hmm. in that game. And this is a team he should score on. But I think it was more just a mentality from him that I'm going to get to the rim. Like you saw it early in the game. I can bully my way to the basket a little mm-hmm. bit more. And, you know, he has a more traditional, you know, 22, you know, I forget what he had, like 9-7, but very complete offensive game for him.
So you don't think it's necessarily, because it seems like he needs some kind of extra motivation to get him going. And the motivation was you didn't score. You're not doing this. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I'll show you this. Like, it almost seems, like maybe it's a coincidence, but it seems like more than often than not that outside impetus fuels him in some way.
I think it definitely does. He, we saw it. It's ironic that they're playing the Wizards right now, but he admitted earlier this year when he was going at the Wizards play-by-play broadcaster for saying he was overrated or something mm-hmm.
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I honestly, like, you know, obviously wasn't, I'm not sure he had to clown the guy at that level, but I did think it was kind of refreshing for him to be like, no, I hear some of these things that people say about me, and that, uh-huh. yeah, that bothers me. So, yeah, I definitely think to some extent, you know, what do they hear? I don't know, but he certainly is not oblivious to the outside conversation.
All right. Well, listen, if he needs that kind of motivation, I hope it continues to come and he continues to want to show people that they're wrong. But let's talk about some other aspects here. The big three have been solid. Now, the guards didn't shoot that well yesterday. They were better in game one. But the never ending question is the bench, and I call it the bench tally. Like I'm trying to, I have an abacus where I'm having a bench tally, and who makes points at a certain day with this race to find out who's going to be in the rotation. Shake is really struggling. Maxie has some moments. Korkmaz had some moments against garbage. With the bench tally, what's your say?
I really wonder if Tyrese Maxey isn't going to get a lot of minutes coming up here. And I actually, that was my question to Doc Rivers after the game. Like, is this kid, and the unspoken part of it was, is Shake Milton not playing well enough that this kid has shown enough moments that you might give him a shot in this series? And, you know, Shake, for, you know, a whole host of reasons, I thought defensively, particularly in game one, he kept making a lot of mistakes with, like, closing out hard on Ish Smith, who's not a three-point shooter. And obviously his offense has been not very good. So I think there is a decent chance we're going to see Tyrese Maxey, because that was a sub that, Shake, you didn't have it in the first half. And we're going to go to this kid. So that's one part of it. I guess the good news is that I think George Hill has looked pretty solid mm-hmm. in both of his games. That's not to say that this is an easy competition for him to play against, too. But I certainly think he's looked like the kind of veteran steadying hand that we have seen. Smart cuts, occasional three, good defense, those things. And then Thibault has the crazy game last night. I'm not sure how much that translates to further playoff opponents, but, in, you know, five blocks and four steals in 20 minutes is pretty crazy. I'm confused on where it goes too. He certainly, so we talked about it before the series, he certainly hasn't shrunk the bench. He's played 11 guys.
Yes, he has.
Post games.
Yep.
So,
I still don't think he knows where he wants to go with it. And I just think he's letting it play out.
And I think we were right, you know, in talking about this a couple weeks ago when we said he's probably not going to have to make a decision, you know, even if it's not going so great because of the opponents they're playing. So, yeah, I mean, he's made halftime switches both times. Maxey came in for Korkmaz the first game. He came in for Milton in the second game. So, yeah, like I would say once you get past nine or so, and, you know, Thibault only played 20 minutes in the first game, there are, like, legitimate questions once you get past seven, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, we're talking to Rich Hoffman, covers the Sixers for The Athletic. Now, Rich, are you taking inventory as, let's face it, there's three teams here, and they're going to face one of those two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals. How are you approaching this when you're trying to figure out whether the Sixers are really should be the Eastern Conference champions? Are you looking at the Nets and the Bucks and measuring them against the Sixers? And can you measure it against the Sixers while they're playing the Wizards? All these questions come into play. How do you look at this? How should the fan be looking at it?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is you should be happy that one of those teams is going to lose, and they have to play each other first. So that's the first part about it. It's been a scenario where, yeah, the Sixers are playing the Wizards. I think, you know, Brooklyn, especially in their second game, they look scary against Boston. But I would also caution, like, Boston's pretty bad right now. They don't have Jaylen Brown. They've been a mess the entire season. But if I were to look at those both teams, you know, they present different types of matchups. Like, I think Milwaukee's probably a little more equipped to stop Embiid with Lopez, and not stop Embiid, but, you know, kind of make him work for it a little more. But there are benefits on the other end of the court, because you have Giannis, who somebody Embiid can guard, and they have their own kind of playoff demons. Brooklyn, to me, would just be, you know, who can score 120, 125. But I will say, like, if you are a Sixers fan looking at it, like, both of those teams are very good, and it's going to be one of those weird situations where I'm almost positive the Sixers are going to make the conference finals unless something bad comes along. I guess my question is just, is it going to hurt them that they have to make the jump up in competition right away and it's a massive leap, or is it going to help them because they're going to be well-rested and maybe those other teams take some dings along the way? That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
All right, last thing, I have to address it, even though it's flabbergasting to me that this has become a bigger story than the actual result, but it did in a lot of sports venues, and that was the popcorn incident from last night. Do you have any views on this either way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good that they banned the guy for, I think that's a reasonable punishment. And, you know, when you say that, I know a lot of people have been screaming at me all day, you know, it's just popcorn, Russell Westbrook's going to be all right. I get it, but, like, I don't know. I feel like...
So you're getting that, too. You're getting that it's just popcorn and rationalization of it.
Yeah, and it's just like, I know we as a city have our, our history and the kind of the national view of how this goes about. And I do think in Philadelphia, it probably gets more play because of that history, which
yeah.
in some ways unfair, some ways not. But I think it's just a pretty basic rule. Like, don't throw stuff at the players.
And then,
like,
see, this has been a really good fan base. This Sixer fan base has really been a good, solid, excitable fan base. And I just don't understand it. So.
Well, and the other thing I would say, too, is it takes away from, your team, playing well, I think the focus, for the most part, obviously it should be on Ben Simmons. He had a great game, Embiid had that cool highlight, and he's doing the wrestling moves after scoring, and just kind of the good feelings and vibes that come from having a team this good, because, as we know, the Sixers haven't been this good for a long time. But, when that happens, that's going to dominate him.
All right, Rich, always a pleasure. This series is just going to go, when's it end? Can you tell me when's it going to end?
Is it going to be in 4 or 5?
It's 4. It's definitely 4. It's just I hate these days between the games. It's killing me here.
Yeah. Long rest.
All right. Thanks, bud. We'll talk to you.
See you, Mike.
Rich Hoffman, Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.